Bring the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Back on track. Much better. Happy flight. Brewers win 6-2. They're still one of the few teams all year to have not lost four consecutive games. Welcome in. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. One big second inning was all they needed. And if you just look at the line, if you just look at the score, you're thinking, okay, yeah, you know, they beat up on Michael King, right? Well, let me tell you, not quite. But hey, all that bad luck and all of that frustration with runners in scoring position and all of the hard hit balls that don't find a hole, all of that was avenged today with that five-run second inning. And a lot of good luck, to say the least, because Michael King struck out the side in the first inning. And I kind of looked around and was like, oh boy, here we go. Given he's already shoved against the Brewers twice. We talked about that in Brewers warm-up. And you're like, oh boy, oh dear. And man, ball in play, that looked relentless. That looked like winning tonight. The Brewers, in that second inning, six hits, five runs. The average exit velocity in that second inning was 81 miles an hour. There were only two balls in play in that inning that were even 90 or above. Frelick's RBI single the opposite way and Black's single up the middle. That was the hardest hit ball of the inning at 102. Frelick was only 90. So there's only one of those six that was at least 90 miles an hour, or excuse me, one of those should be a hard hit, I should say. Good luck finally came the Brewers' way. And overall, with runners in scoring position today, it doesn't look all that pretty at 4 for 13, which is shy of 250. But good to see them get more opportunities again. They started 3 for 6, so got things going in the right direction. That 14 hits today, too, loved that. Six walks today. So the Brewers continues to be, I shouldn't say six walks, bigger pardon, six runs batted in. Wrong column. Stand by. 14 hits, a few extra base hits as well, three doubles and a triple. The Brewers' power hasn't quite been there. We talked about the lack of slugging percentage in yesterday's game, but this kind of gets you back on track. Craig Kishon's going to join us in just a little bit, but I want to address one of the main questions here right off the top. We'll break down that five-run second inning. We'll talk about some of the big moments from this game, but let's talk pitching here right off the jump. Why did Tobias Myers only go five? Why did Brian Hudson go two? Why did Pyomps and McGill pitch in this game? Well, they needed to throw, quite frankly. I was surprised to see Brian throw two innings. I would have expected one, but luckily he only needed 21 pitches to get through two innings. But again, this is kind of what we talked about on Friday, where it's, all right, so you want to be a manager. Here are all the things you're juggling at once. And I know folks are worried about Brian Hudson being overused. I am too, because we saw it happen with Yoel Pyomps last year. You had a reliever emerge on the scene and then run out of gas in September. I'm hoping that doesn't happen to Brian Hudson. I wouldn't have expected two innings out of him today, but they got it. He was efficient. He looked as dominant as ever. The reason why you only had Tobias go five is he was getting ready to go a third time through against lefty Cronenworth, righty Machado, lefty Merrill. You have one of the best lefties available in your bullpen in a, at the time, a 5-1 game. Still sort of in the balance, and that third time through is the delicate spot. Leave Tobias with a positive feeling. It's okay because you had that rested bullpen ready to go. And I would have thought Brian was just going to get that one time through with Cronenworth, Machado, and Merrill. And then you hand it to maybe Koenig or Peguero or something for the bottom of the seventh, especially once the Brewers added another run and made it 6-1. But the Brewers felt, let's get these guys in, because let's say the best case scenario here, let's say tomorrow the Brewers beat up on the Rangers. Let's say those guys didn't get in the game today, right? And the Brewers beat up on the Rangers tomorrow. They're up 8-1 or something. You're not going to throw them then, right? So each day leads to the next. I imagine Hudson will be down tomorrow, but I know McGill will be available tomorrow. I know Pyomps will be available tomorrow. Hudson will be available probably on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then you get an off day on Thursday. The Brewers wanted to ensure they got their leverage arms into the game, because you don't want them gathering dust. There's a balance of overusing and high leverage. Today was not high leverage. Today was an important inning, but it wasn't like, oh God, bases loaded, two outs, one run. It wasn't that. And to feel and watch your stuff work in the way that it did for all three of those guys, and Hudson, Pyomps, and McGill specifically, figuring out that curveball, that was the best the curveball has looked in a week or two, could be very important for the rest of the week, not only for the Rangers coming up here back at home, but for the Cubs this weekend as well. So I just wanted to get out in front of that, because I know there are a few folks on Twitter asking about that. I really don't mind Tobias going five. I was a little surprised by Hudson going two, but as far as the arm used, not surprised in the slightest. I think it makes sense. I truly do. Brewers win 6-2. We'll talk a little bit of the offense. We'll talk about a little bit of what's ahead for the Brewers. Craig Kishon in a little bit. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. Right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers get the victory, 6-2 over the Padres. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With the local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. A couple of texts that I've rolled in here, 855-616-1620. Josh in Milwaukee, despite losing a four-game series, there was plenty of good on this road trip. Myers was terrific yet again, and the offense did great work in the second. We'll need it all to continue, because here come the darn Cardinals again. This one from Doug, Blake Perkins warming up again. He doesn't want to go anywhere, and he shouldn't. Has Mitchell ever played first base? Absolutely not. No. We're not doing this. Doug, I'm not picking on you, but I've seen some other folks on social media asking if Garrett Mitchell can play first base. No. He's one of the fastest players in baseball. He's not playing first base. But Perkins heating up is certainly a welcome sight. Big decision looming with Garrett due back this week. I'd be shocked if we don't see him at home this week. Truly. They didn't say as much today. And he played again today for Nashville. Got a base hit off of rehabbing big leaguer Jeffrey Springs, left on left, mind you. Otherwise, two strikeouts and a walk today for Garrett. So we'll monitor when he'll be back this week. Just a reminder, there has to be a 40-man move as well for Garrett to return to the active roster. Aaron in Illinois, did we need that or what? Myers is the player of the game, and he stopped the bleeding. All teams go through this, unfortunately. It's just how you deal with it that separate the good teams. The difference-making moment was when Myers exited and the bullpen took the mound today. Churio is starting to be the stud we thought he was. I will take 4-for-13 while there's in scoring position. Sunday, fun day, go crew. This one from Coach C. Impressive stuff today. Most effective against left-handed hitters. Just wondering what the data and metrics showed before today's game. A big reason why Tobias Myers was so effective was starting to flash that changeup a little bit more. I also thought his cutter was the best it's been to this point in the year. Myers, when he keeps the ball in the ballpark, he's pretty darn good, guys. He's not a guy that relies on swing and miss either. So even when he's not getting it, he's okay. He came into today's game with a 43% whiff rate on his changeup and a 32% whiff rate on his slider, which are both well above league average, especially the changeup. He exited today only needing 7 swings and misses total. In total, that's just a 17% whiff rate. Granted, the big piece of that was the changeup. He only threw 5 strikes with the changeup out of 12 total thrown. 4 of those 5 strikes were swings and misses. So he was masking it very well with his fastball. Clearly the game plan for the Padres was attack the fastball. They went 4-for-14 against it. But everything else, they would have combined 1-for-6 against, including that changeup. The changeup, I thought, was the difference maker today for Tobias Myers. And when you look at his work against lefties this season, the changeup is obviously the bread and butter for a right-handed pitcher against a left-handed hitter. But when Tobias is able to have both fastball command and the changeup falling off the table like it did today, that's how you can keep lefties at bay. He doesn't throw the breaking ball really to lefties. It's all about the changeup and the cutter. And again, the cutter today was really good. Overall, they went 0 for 3 against the cutter. 17 total cutters thrown. 13 of them were strikes. Especially that at bat against Profar. That strikeout that he got of him, that turned out to be his last batter of the day. Crowded him inside, broke his bat, foul ball on a cutter. Crowded him inside with a fastball that was elevated, swing and a miss. Then he pulls the string on him, change up. It was in the zone, way out in front, swing and miss, see you later. That was his last batter. That was the Tobias Myers that I'm excited about. Not afraid to go to the glove side against a left-handed hitter. We talked about Robert Gasser being a left-handed pitcher, not afraid to throw into righties. It's extremely hard for right-handed pitchers to throw into lefties because they're dangerous. And to be that upper third, that elevated upper third, is so hard to do. The difference, right, is hitting that spot against Profar and not being able to hit that spot with two outs and two strikes against Arise. He caught a little too much of the middle. It was still on the inside corner, but caught too much of the middle, and Arise is able to hit an RBI double. Whereas you get up into Profar's kitchen, you make him uncomfortable, and he's not able to get it done. I thought Tobias Myers, I know he only went five. This was one of his best starts of the year, especially facing that lineup, how hot they have been to cool them down and get the job done, get a fourth consecutive victory for Tobias Myers. He's on my player of the game poll right now over on my Twitter at Dom_Cotroneo, DOM_COTRONEO. He is dominating the player of the game poll, 88% of the vote, 166 votes already in. Still got the rest of the show to get in your approval. Talk a little offense. Craig's going to join us once his Bally TV duties are finished as well. 855-616-1620. You can call, you can text. Come on in and hang out with us here tonight. We're going till 7 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers win 6-2. I'm Dominic Petronio. Brewers Extra Innings continues, brought to you in part by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Thunderstorms can happen at any time in Wisconsin, as we certainly saw last night. As an authorized Generac dealer, Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you up to $1,500 off of a whole home generator. Visit Cider, SEIDER.com today. The Brewers' offense is obviously part of the story. 14 hits, 6 runs scored. Multiple hits today from Jake Bowers, Joey Ortiz, Sal Frelick, Blake Perkins, and Jackson Churio off the bench, mind you. I want to talk a little bit about Churio before we break down what actually happened in today's game. Churio now, here in the month of June, is hitting 296, going 294. His on-base is 350. His slugging is 470. His OPS is over 820. All of those well above league average. Oh, by the way, he's 20. The big reason all of this has been fueled for Churio is slowing down the chase rate. He is starting to see pitches better. Same time about last season in AA is when he really started to understand how teams were attacking him and what needed to be done. His chase rate by month on all pitches, okay, fastballs, changeups, curveballs, it does not matter. All pitches lumped together. His chase rate in April was 35%. League average for chase rate is right around 27%. 35%. So, hey, he's 20 years old, 8 points higher. It's no big deal. Went up to 39% in May. You're thinking, oh boy, what's going on here? But now, excluding today, it's down to 31%. So, 4 points lower than it was in April and getting closer to league average, only 4 points above league average. But again, we just gave you all the numbers here in June of how great he has been playing. Just look out. He ain't going anywhere. Brewers are not going to option him when Garrett Mitchell comes back. He's got nothing to learn in AAA. He's going to continue to learn and get better here in the big leagues. Craig Kishon's going to be with us in just a moment to talk about today's offense. Also want to point out Sal Frelick today, a double, also an opposite field RBI single. That really got things going in that big second inning to make it feel like a big inning for the Brewers. How about Tyler Black going up to the two spot today? An RBI and a walk. Got thrown out trying to be a little too aggressive on the base pass, but that's okay. He's a rookie. He's learning. But some good luck for the Brewers. That was obviously vastly overdue. And the crew did this without Reese. They did this without William. And they did this without a home run today. The Brewers are still one of the better teams in baseball at hitting and winning games without hitting a homer. And, well, here in June, they've hit among the fewest home runs in baseball. So to have them keep that feather in their cap, if you will, I'm pulling up the stat right now for the teams without a home run hit who has the best record this season. The Brewers have been hovering around 500, which is actually pretty darn good when you think about it. The Brewers are second in baseball, so today make it first in baseball after today's win. As I present in Craig Kishon with this stat, Craig, the Brewers are now 15-13 when they don't hit a home run. That's the best winning percentage in baseball and the most wins overall when they don't hit a home run. I know we all like homers, and I would like home runs too. But when you get second innings like the ones you got, it makes you remember, oh yeah, bat the ball and good things should happen.
Well, you know what, Dom? Those innings like we saw today, the second inning, that's high entertainment baseball, though. I mean, just the way that inning started with that bloop kind of Bermuda triangle single by Adames, for whatever reason, the way things have been going the last few days, you just get the – I at least got the feeling this could be a special inning because this is how baseball goes. You know, strange hits like that fall in, maybe a little lackadaisical play out there, and sometimes that comes back to haunt teams like that, like San Diego and the way they played it, because the Brewers just simply passed the baton and did a great job, especially with two outs. They drove in four of those five runs, and they had three opposite field hits. So nothing hit strong and nothing hit really overpowering, that's for sure, but their runs on the board. The home run aspect of it, I love home runs too, and I kind of got jealous of the Padres in the first three games because their home runs meant something, and we do know that home runs can be very meaningful in games, but the Brewers certainly proving they didn't need it here today, and that was okay by me.
When I look at this lineup, and when I saw it today, when it came out, it made perfect sense to give Reese and to give William a day off. And look, the Brewers are going to be successful with both of them in the lineup. What I was surprised about was Tyler Black being in the two spot today. And he was eventually pinch hit for by Churio when the lefty came into the game. But Black's going to get an extended look here, Craig. And him going 1-for-2 with a walk and a strikeout kind of shows you what he's capable of. He's going to get on base, hopefully, one or two times a game. One of them with a hit, one of them with a walk. He didn't steal it. The Brewers really struggled stealing bases in this series. Ortiz and Sal swiped one today, but Black's going to be a guy that should be able to swipe bases as he gets more comfortable in the big leagues. We're going to see a long look here of Tyler Black, given the Brewers are going to see a lefty on Tuesday from the Rangers, but then righties on Monday and Wednesday. So I'm excited to see more of him and maybe with an extended peek at him.
Yeah, I mean, they brought him up to play him and use him and see how he handles things his second time up. And, you know, it was good to have him hit another milestone today, and that was his first major league RBI. So you know how this goes, Dom. You know, you build confidence in certain ways, and sometimes players are, you know, big, loud appearances in their first, you know, week or two, maybe a month in the majors, and then they start fizzling out. And some players, it's a slow buildup. And I think with Black, you know, again, with some of these young guys that are on this team and going back to last year, too, with all the rookies, just somebody that carries himself like he's not a rookie. I mean, I love watching his at-bats. He's perplexed when things don't go his way for a good reason. And when things do go his way, it's just put on the you know, the worker face and go get them done. I like every aspect that he can bring to the game. So it is going to be interesting to see how all these young guys, these outfielders, fit into the mix here, because Garrett Mitchell's knocking on the door. I know that's probably something either you've talked about already or are going to talk mm-hmm. about in how this team is going to handle some decisions. So obviously I like everyone who's who's played outfield for Milwaukee here right now. They've done a terrific job, and you know, Black's coming along nicely.
Let's talk about Bryce Turang here to wrap up the offense chat of this portion. Turang, this road trip, hit 344, 11 for 32, a double, a triple, two homers. Didn't expect to say that since. He led the Brewers and homers on this road trip, the only one with multiple. He had eight runs batted in despite being a leadoff hitter. Of course, the grand slam yesterday helped. I mean, Turang, it goes without saying, we need to keep pointing it out as it happens. The dude has quantum leaped and leapt and then some. This dude is an all-star, and it's been incredible to watch him develop this first half.
Well, it is pretty amazing, and just going into that leadoff role, to hit the way he has been hitting, especially in that leadoff role, he's well over 350. You've probably got the numbers there since May 8th, but pretty close to that anyway. I mean, I love guys, Dom, who embrace a role, and I don't think anybody saw him being a leadoff guy like, especially just what he's been able to do and what he's producing and mostly how he's embracing it. You know, this guy's a baseball player and he loves every aspect of it. And the fact that he's playing so well defensively, and then you mix it in with what he's doing, you know, with the bat as well. And, you know, the offseason hard work and the adjustments, you know, gaining some weight, gaining some muscle, just becoming an even better athlete, and he's showing it all off here right now, and it's been fantastic. It's been fun to watch. This team needs that. Every team needs somebody at the top to set the tone of a game, and he's done just a terrific job of that. What, hit for the cycle in this series, not in one game, but for the series, like you mentioned, got the triple today, the big grand slam yesterday. This guy right now is doing it all.
He has been fantastic. And go vote for him. You can vote up to 10 times a day until Thursday for Phase 1 of All-Star voting. More with Craig Kishon. Talk a little pitching in the week ahead after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon with us for one more segment. You know, I broke down Tobias Meyer's great start a little bit earlier in the program, Craig. Brewers win 6-2. Behind his fourth consecutive win. I talked about the changeup and the cutter being stuff that really jumped out to me today. For him, over these last four starts, what's jumped out to you about how effective he has been in suddenly becoming a stopper for the Brewers rotation?
Well, I mean, I just love guys who are students of the game, and I think that he's really broken apart each one of his starts, Dom, and just made the right adjustments. I mean, he's even gone to we showed it during the broadcast today, the orange ball whip that he uses. That's a big golf tool. I mean, you know more about this than I do. Sometimes I look at stuff and I'm like, what is that doing to help a pitcher's game here right now? It looks like it should help a hitter's game by swinging a bat. But that's, you know, he's willing to do anything. And I think, too, that, you know, we on our pregame show today, Vinny broke down, you know, kind of the opposite side of, you know, some of those secondary pitches. The fastball is actually setting up his changeup so well. And you know, he kind of struggled a little bit in that fifth inning, but was able to use that to get the final out as well, that sequence. So he's doing just about everything right. What in June, he's 4-0 with an 0.71. I mean, that's phenomenal stuff. And again, he's 25. He toiled in the minor leagues for a long, long time before getting this opportunity. And also, Dom, he gave up a lot of home runs, you know, his first few starts in the big leagues as well. And now, I mean, he's not walking anybody. He's not giving up any home runs, not ones that hurt anyway. It's just been really something to watch, the growth in such a short amount of time.
It's been a guy that was not really on anyone's radar to seriously stick in the rotation, but obviously out of a need. He's been optioned a couple of times already this year, and I mean, he's here to stick because the Brewers need length. They need innings. They need currency, and to have Junis back in the fold is good. Sounds like Joe Ross is starting to make a little bit of progress. Maybe we start seeing him right around All-Star break time before or after. Devin Williams is going to throw off a mound for the first time this week. That's some good news as well. So the pitching is, albeit bandaged together, those wounds are healing underneath. Now this week, Craig, they get three games with the Rangers, who have been underperforming to this point, kind of like the Padres, but to a different level, a little lower. Off day Thursday, and then the Cubs. I mean, this is a really important week because the Rangers are better than the record indicates, kind of like what we talked about with the Padres. And there's going to be a lot of energy in the building over the weekend. Do not lose sight of the Texas Rangers, because you're going to face Nate Eovaldi on Wednesday. You're going to face a lefty on Tuesday and Andrew Haney. This is a team that, look, they're the defending world champs. You got to beat the best to be the best, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other thing, too, that I look at is, you know, Max Scherzer returned today and pitched five shutout innings for the Rangers. So his first outing of the season. Sometimes, Dom, you get a boost from a future Hall of Famer like that coming back and saying, you know what? I rehabbed, I'm back. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to help this team win another one. And that could be pretty invigorating for this team as well when they're coming to Milwaukee tomorrow. They're definitely better than their record shows here. There, I mean, that's the understatement of the year. So, yes, this is going to be a challenge this next three games for the Brewers, and then the Cubs coming back you know, this weekend, a lot of emotion again, I think, and that rivalry just heats up even more.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is going to be a lot of fun this week. Then the Brewers will go back on the road a week from Monday, and they will head to the West Coast again for Colorado and those Dodgers. So that's going to do it with Craig. Appreciate you as always. We'll talk to you again over the weekend when the Cubs are in town. Thanks, Craig.
All right, Dom. Thank you.
All right, back with more after this. A little bit from the manager, Pat Murphy, and some highlights a little bit later on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers get the win. Happy manager. Pat Murphy talking to the media after today's victory, a lot about Tobias and what the offense got clicking. Here's a little bit of Murph after today's win.
We got a little lucky, didn't we? Some of the hits fell in, and some of the grounders got through, opposite field grounders, and a couple bloops, and King's good, man. That guy's good. Guy can pitch.
How do you think that second inning unfolded?
Yeah, we were just kind of like chipping away and relentless movement. That's kind of our offense, and we're capable of that. But guys kept coming up and putting it in play. That's, you know, it gives you a chance. Those opposite field ground balls, how many in that stretch? Tell me that stretch. Can you read that off to me, that second inning or third or whatever it was stretch? Can you tell me what happened?
Blake had
Adamas led off with a blooper.
Adamas, yeah, the blooper.
Blooper. The next guy was Tito. Yeah. What did he do? Knocked
single.
Between third and second. Then what?
Who was
Sal, RBI single, and Oppo on the ground.
Stolen base.
Stolen base. Gary, punch.
Blake. Blooper.
Right. Terang, triple in the corner.
And then Tyler Black single.
Where?
Left.
Opposite field.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it.
First RBI for him.
It is? How many bats? I mean,
18.
More than 18.
No, I'm just guessing. You're making me guess. I mean, I'm
Adam's
guessing.
Not, he's not really covering us. He's not paying attention. He's got his focus elsewhere.
Heard five of the six runs that they scored with two outs, too. So timely as well as well-placed. It's something that's been missing a little bit, I guess, in recent days. But
Well, we punched 15 times yesterday, you know what I mean? And then we backed it up with a game where we didn't give up a free base. And, you know, we put the ball in play against a pitcher that shoved on us last time. Mm-hmm. Hit a no-hitter through 6-plus. Mm-hmm. And Willie had a bloop to break up the no-hitter. So we blooped him. And opposite field ground ball. Kid's a good pitcher, man. Kid is, I think he's really good.
How about Tobias? Pitch.
Tobias was great. I mean, this kid continues to work in between starts. He continues to be serious about his, you know, unexpected arrival in in the big leagues. You know, he himself will tell you. I mean, he didn't know that he was going to be here, and was hoping, and you know, whatever. But since he's been here, he's decided that I'm going to listen to these guys, and we might not be very good, but we've got a great team. You know, like team chemistry. Those guys, they really pull for each other. So while on paper we don't look like the best team in the world, we do pull things off like today, like come back against an extremely hot team that's swinging the bat well. Sure, they have some injuries, but they've got some people. And they got some people that are white hot. They're so hot. Marilyn Cronenworth, I mean, Araya's generational hitter, man. This guy's, you know, he's in the mold of people that the people of San Diego are very aware of. He's in the mold. I'm not saying I compare him. Just saying he's in the mold of Tony Gwynn.
I mean, that's a name that you don't just throw around, and it's true. And Arias has kind of taken that in stride. I love what he talked about Tobias there when it comes to his in-between preparation. That's kind of one of the big hurdles for rookies in the big leagues to learn what it takes in the show. With all that being said, let's have some highlights coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get up!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers trying to avoid getting swept in a four-game series to the Padres. Michael King on the mound for San Diego. Tobias Myers for Milwaukee. We pick things up with two outs in the second inning. After a couple of bloop singles for the Brewers, they got things going with two strikes and Sal Frelick at the plate.
2-2. King deals. Line drive, base hit left field. They're going to send Adames. He will score. Streaking to third is Ortiz, and the Brewers have the lead. It's 1-0.
Jeff Levering on the call. I beg your pardon. It was one out in the inning. A couple batters later, Blake Perkins is up with two outs, two on, and two strikes on him.
Here's the pitch. And he lifts it down to left field line. This is going to be trouble. It's a fair ball. Two runs are going to score. Perkins stops at first. It's a three-run inning on a flare by Blake Perkins with two strikes.
Oh, but they still weren't done. Top of the order now. Bryce Terang's had a great return back home to Southern California.
Pitch to Terang. Line drive down the right field line. A base hit. Perkins is around second. He's headed for third. He's going to come around and score. As Terang is on his way to third base, he'll have an RBI triple.
Once again, the Brewers just kept on hitting. And finally, let's finally hit a ball hard, shall we? How about the rookie getting a milestone checked off? Tyler Black.
Nice. Terang beat the defense. Here's the pitch to Tyler Black through the left side, a base hit. The Brewers have hung a nickel on the Padres in the second inning. It's 5-0. Hitting them where they ain't today.
That was the ninth five-run inning for the Brewers. They've all have happened since the start of May. Tobias Myers, meanwhile, turned in a great outing. He allowed one run in the fifth inning. But with stress aboard, third time through the order, he has two men on, two out. He falls behind Jerickson Profar, 2-0. You've got Cronenworth lurking on deck. You got Machado and Merrill lurking. But he battles back. Profar fouls off a pitch, swings and misses at another. Then finally, the last pitch of the day from Tobias.
Two balls, two strikes, two away, two men on. The pitch struck him out. Pulled the string with a changeup, and Myers gets through the fifth.
He got his fourth consecutive win today, going five strong innings, only allowing a run. The Brewers would add another run late from Jake Bowers, and they win the game 6-2 over the Padres. It's a happy flight home. We'll say goodnight after this on WTMJ.
I'm on top of the world. Hey.
All right, I got 30 seconds on the nose here to say goodnight. Tomorrow, 7:10, first pitch from American Family Field. The Rangers are in town. I've got you for Brewers warm-up at 6, and I've got you for the post-game show tomorrow. Bob Brainerd will have it on Tuesday, no show Wednesday, and no Brewers Weekly on Thursday because of the presidential debate. My thanks to Evan Witalison, our producer, and to Craig Kishon. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers win, and keep on swinging.